Okay, we have 30 supervisors present. That is a quorum. Let's continue with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, let's start with the Chair's report. I have a few things to mention here. First of all, the county clerk interviews, we have over 20 applicants, I believe, 26 applicants. The executive committee will be doing interviews on January 26th. The executive committee will review the various applications and winnow those down to a manageable number to interview. And then the interviews will take place on February 1st, and that is 1 o'clock? Okay. Certainly anybody who is interested in sitting in on those is very welcome to, even if you're not a member of the executive committee. It'll be the executive committee that votes and then recommends that to the full board. It's the full board that ends up making the ultimate selection. So the executive committee is simply a recommending body, not a selecting body. But you are certainly very welcome and, in fact, encouraged to join the executive committee so you can hear the interviews with those applicants. I will not be participating in the interview process. One of the applicants is a person who had talked about running for the state assembly, which, as you know, is a position that I've been running for. I don't know that there is an ethical violation for me participating, but the ethics rules also say to avoid the appearance of impropriety, and I don't see any way that it doesn't look bad no matter what the outcome is if I participate. So I'm not going to participate in that. Tara Johnson, our first vice chair, will handle those meetings. Questions on that at all? Anybody? Yeah, Roger Plesha.
Time on the 26th.
Time on the 26th for the paper review.
1 o'clock.
Is that 1 o'clock also? Okay. Thank you, Jill. Vicki Burke? My guess is probably like a couple hours max, right? I'm looking at Tara. She's nodding her head. A couple hours max.
2 hours.
Okay, so you'll have plenty of time. You'll be fine.
And Human Services is meeting that night at 6:30, so it can't go much longer than that. That would be maximum.
Okay. John Menninger?
Can the committee recommend more than one person to the county board?
Sure.
So, I mean, conceivably, we could have a choice, not just one person up or down.
Absolutely. The committee can do as it deems appropriate in that respect, could recommend just one, could recommend multiple.
Okay.
And then they will, if they recommend multiple, will have to work out the details in terms of, is there going to be another set of interviews for the full board or, you know, what have you. Again, they do have the latitude to do as they deem appropriate in that respect.
Could have job share.
Ralph Geary. You're asking the wrong guy. I'm not participating. So whatever they do, they do. Corp Council? I mean, I suppose they could do a minority report, right?
Sure.
It's just like any other procedure. So, okay. Other questions on that one? All right. The next thing that I have is, again, a reminder. You got about a week and a half for your mileage and travel reimbursements for 2010. Get those in. If you want to get reimbursed after February 1st, it's too late. I have another thing here. We have a number of vacancies on committees and boards that some of them have been sitting around for a while. I just want to mention them, and if you know anybody who might be interested, these are for non-county board people. This is for members of the public, but I want to let board members hear so that if you know of anybody who's interested, you have them contact the chair's office. On the library board, there was a person, Mary Beth Villa, who did not respond to her reappointment letter. Her term expired on December 31st, so we're assuming that she's not interested in reapplying, unless somebody knows otherwise. Have her contact us. So we need a citizen member on the library board. On the Harbor Commission, we've had a vacancy since July 31st. People haven't exactly been beating down the door to get on that. So if you know of anybody who's interested, please have them contact me. Don Myers, our county board rep on that. Equal Opportunities in Housing, we have had a vacancy on there for close to a year at this point. Sharon Hampson is the county rep on that one. Sharon, how often does that one meet? Okay, it doesn't, so it's a really easy one.
If there's a complaint,
it would be the only time. Okay. The Highway Commission has two vacancies, and this is a little complicated because this isn't really our vacancy. It's the Sheriff's Department puts a person on there, and there are two vacancies. So if anybody is interested in being on that, Bill, do you know what they exactly do?
I think it's a safety. They review some of the safety issues. Maybe I think Keith and actually Keith and Denny are back there. Maybe
Denny is nodding. That is what they do.
Safety.
Okay. So if you know of anybody who may be interested in that, have them contact Sheriff Helgeson, and we'd be happy to get them appointed right away. And then the last one is Winding Rivers Library System. We have two people, Mary Larson and Louise Donahue, asked not to renew. I filled one of those. And we still have one more vacancy, and at this point Marilyn Pedretti is our county board representative, so we need one more citizen on Winding Rivers. So again, if you know people interested in any of these, please have them get something to the office, and we'll get them appointed at our next county board meeting. Last thing is supervisor conference reports. I want to call on Arlene. She has a matter that we need to take care of, and I'm going to ask her to come forth to the podium.
Thank you. I was down at the conference in the Dells on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and at our banquet we presented a plaque for Dennis Osgood, and I took the plaque, and he is here tonight. If he'd please step out. Dennis, we have this resolution of service. Whereas Dennis Osgood has served the citizens of La Crosse County with dedication, distinction, and honor for over 39 years. And whereas Mr. Osgood has served with the La Crosse County Highway Department since 1971 as a patrol helper from June 1971 to February 1972 as a patrol worker from February 1972 to a crew leader from February 79 to March 1987, as a patrol superintendent from March 1987 to July 1997, and as assistant highway commissioner from February 1989 until July 1997. Whereas Mr. Osgood also served as a highway commissioner of the La Crosse County Highway Department from July 1997 until his retirement in January 2011. Mr. Osgood's services to his county has been of utmost dedication and effort made La Crosse County a better place to live and work in. Now therefore be it resolved, the Wisconsin County Highway Association, assembled on this 11th day of January, does hereby honor Dennis Osgood for his many years of public service in county government and express our gratitude for his efforts on behalf of highway interest. And I did give a little speech about Dennis when I was at the banquet. So, Dennis.
Thank you.
It's really good to hear all these good words you talk about me, but all the years I've served, and especially from the supervisor area on up, had full support from the county board. A lot of commissioners aren't that fortunate to have the support that I've had throughout the years. This county board has always held transportation issues high, and I couldn't have did it without all you people, and with Steve and everybody here that I've worked with, and Arlene, you've been a good supporter all these years. You were on the committee when I first got appointed highway commissioner. So, and excellent assistant Keith Back. He's helped me throughout the years tremendously. So I want to thank you again, and hope to see you out and about. Go Packers.
Thank you, Denny.
Denny, if we keep giving you standing ovations, will you come back?
Good one. Also, I have a humorous few-minute story to tell you. Everybody complimented me on my beautiful sweater tonight, and there's a story behind this. When I was going to the conference, my daughters bought me this sweater and dress pants, and they said they wanted me to look nice for the banquet because I was going to be the speaker at the banquet. So I went and bought some really nice dress boots. So after about 2-3 hours of Wednesday walking around, going to this meeting, that meeting, I came into the room where we were all going to be sitting, and somebody said, "Do you feel okay?" And I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Well, you know, you're walking really slow." And I said, "I need 20 minutes. I need to go back to my room." I went back to my room. I sat down, and guess what? I had 2 left boots. And so the only pair I had was a white pair of tennis shoes. And I wasn't going to wear white tennis shoes with this nice outfit that I got. So when I came back, one of the guys came up and asked again if I was okay, the same one. I told him what happened. So guess what? He told the 300 people at the banquet. So everybody knows about my boots. I called my daughters, and they both laughed and hung up. And I thought, that's not very funny. They called me back. They talked to each other, and they said, "Mom, we're going to call you Left Leg Looney." Thank you.
Well, and now the whole county knows about it because we're the highest rated program, I'm sure, on Sunday afternoon when these reruns are on television. I'm sure that people are not going to tune into the Packer game. Instead, they'll be watching us. Jerry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On Monday, myself, Arlene, Steve Peters, and Jim Urshan, we traveled to Toma to meet with Ed Thompson. As many of you know, Ed has pancreatic cancer, and he's not doing very well at all. But what we did, we bought him a nice yellow velour comforter, and we had an ITBEC logo embroidered on it. And then the other corner, we put down Friends of Ed Thompson. I don't know if anybody's ever had a chance to talk to him, but he's one of the most congenial people you'll ever meet. He's just a perfect gentleman. And it's just kind of sad to see the situation he's in. But he said he'd wear it. The color would remind him to always wear it when he's watching the Packers. And the reason we meet at the teepee is because it's centrally located for the counties that belong to the Southwest ITBEC. And we were paying $250 for a meeting room out at the Holiday Inn there. And Ed gives us the banquet hall for nothing. He goes out and buys the donuts and the rolls for us every morning. And has a big ice thing of pop for us. He has carafes of coffee around the table and pencils and pads. And he does all that for us because he appreciates people in public service. And he doesn't charge us anything, so... He was very gracious for that blanket, and because he's going to be needing it tonight when it gets really cold. So that's what I have to say about Ed Thompson right. And our ITBEC.
Thank you, Jerry. Anybody else? Any reports? Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to just direct the attention of the county supervisors to the check that is there, and this was presented to the county and to the construction committee. Law Enforcement Center Construction Committee on January 11th, and I just wanted to thank the members of the committee who have worked on the construction committee for so long. I mean, we started on this project in 2006, the jail addition and the remodeling, and with a committee design to work on the design and what would be involved with it, and then the members of the construction committee, and that's Supervisor Ray Ebert and Supervisor Jim Burns, get your name correctly tonight. And Supervisor Maureen Friedland is on that, Supervisor Bev Mock, Supervisor John Mettinger. And Sharon has also served on that committee, and Supervisor Fisher when she was a member of the county board, Tom Rock, and Joe Veenstra, and have put in a lot of work. And this was the energy savings. This was presented by John Heck, who is an energy advisor for schools and government sector of Focus on Energy. And on your desk, you do have the speech that he gave, and I think you should take note of what the design included, and congratulations to the county board as well for their interest in sustainability in La Crosse County. And it was really a pleasure working with Don Carlson and Mike with Market and Johnson, the construction manager, and Paul Brummond with Potter Lawson and Vale Shute with River Architects. They were very helpful in answering questions and getting information for us. And also staff member Jim Seropoulos and County Administrator O'Malley, Nick Nichols, and Mary Powell, and some of those who have helped us with the committee. So this talks about the energy savings, the $65,000 annually that is estimated that will be cost savings for us. So just for your information, and it was a pleasure working with this committee because they did such a great job.
Thank you, Vicki. Leon Paff?
Yes, I attended the Highway Winter Road School, also the Highway Conference, along with Arlene and Ralph and Jeff Schrader. And one of the highlights of it was we had the new Secretary of Transportation, Gottlieb, was there to speak on what things look like in the future. And as we all know, the future is not real bright on getting more. More road funds, but there's a couple alternatives, and one of them may be raising the gas tax, but we'll have to see how that works out with the new legislature. And also, you talked a little bit about that administration down there is in favor of the getting the segregated funds, bringing that through, along with that will have to run through the legislature two consecutive times and then put on a ballot in 2013 would be there as soon as it would get on there. But it was just a couple notes on that of the 54 or 56 counties that it was on the ballot, it passed with a 70% approval rate by them, an average of 70%, a low of 64 and a high of 89 with an average of 70%. So that's where the segregated fund business sits right now. So the other ones may have something else to say about the committee.
Okay, thank you, Leon. Anybody else? Jill Billings.
I was at the Capitol on Wednesday, cold morning, left at 6 o'clock, and picked up Supervisor Schrader. And we met first with other county supervisors on the County Ambassador Program, learned about some issues that we advocated in the Capitol. We had appointments with Representative Schilling and Senator Kopanky in the morning, and we're able to talk with Representative Schilling and Senator Kopanky's staff person. He had meetings back in the district. There were issues that were highlighted by WCA that we advocated on, including the Juvenile Correction Institution closing one of the facilities for boys because they're just the population doesn't justify two facilities. We talked about mandates and a suggested changes that would make things easier on counties. We talked about probation and parole holds, reimbursement, and asked for an audit on probation and parole to make sure that the number of people that are in our facilities are really justified. I have position papers if anybody's interested in any of the issues, and we'll be going back on April 4th to advocate with WCSA on human services issues. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Jill. Anybody else? Any reports? Okay. I think that's it for County Board Chair's report. So next up is Administrator Report, Steve O'Malley.
Okay. Just included in your packet, of course, is the standard evaluation form. The Executive Committee decided to use the same form we've used before. Please return it in the next 2 weeks to the board chair.
Let me interrupt you there. feel welcome while we're meeting tonight to fill it out, because a lot of people in the past have not been returning these. I'd really like to get a good response. So you won't be called to task if I see you writing while other people are talking. Thank you, Steve.
In addition to that, obviously, any feedback you have, good, bad, suggestions for improvement, be sure to also reference the work plan. There are details in there of priorities. One item that's not included, of course, is the upcoming Highway Commissioner interviews. I've talked by message with a number of the Public Works Committee members. We've got an exciting group of candidates. We will have first interviews where I've suggested that just county staff will do that. But the second interview with two or three candidates, we'll probably interview first interview with six or seven candidates. The second interview with two or three candidates will be with the entire Public Works Committee. If Public Works Committee members can look at your calendars for February 10th, I'm suggesting that that's a good date for us to do that. Following the executive committee, which had been moved to that date because of WCA, my hope is that we can bring the county board a name for consideration at the February 17th meeting, if everything goes well. But again, I've left messages or talked to each of the Public Works Committee members. If tonight you could give me some feedback, either right now or at the end of the meeting, if February 10th, in the early evening, we try to accommodate people's working schedules and do those two or three interviews at 4 o'clock. Mr. Burns, Jerry or Jim or whatever your name is. It's an inside joke for those that were at an event. But seriously, if that's possible, then we can keep the process moving along. And I think it will go faster to just have staff do the first interviews and give me any feedback, members, if you have that. So give me feedback on the work plan and those kinds of things. We're going to keep moving along. The next item that I have is the update on the resolution for determination of necessity to acquire the Schroeder property. I've asked both committees for an additional 30 days on that. We're working with getting input from the adjacent landowner. Also, all the quantities of the information that I think you're going to want to know about as you consider our recommendation. Under the plan, what we probably didn't give you enough information on is that what we'll end up working is actually there will be three developable parcels in the city of La Crosse, so it's actually a means to add tax base. And actually accommodate a number of things that will happen with that, as well as potentially developable land in the adjacent part in on Alaska. So we've got to give more information and give you more quantities. So just to let you know, both committees talked about that, and so hopefully that's fine. I don't know if we need a separate motion, Mr. Chair, but both committees have been comfortable with the additional 30 days.
Unless there's objection, we could do it by unanimous consent. We'll just hold that over. Mr. Ebert?
Just one question. If all of this is coming up now, why did you come to us 2 months ago and ask us to okay this resolution?
Because the resolution was only asking for authority to get an appraisal and to keep working on the process, and our solid waste director is comfortable that the primary reason he's interested in it is in relation to the safety access. I know there are a number of other issues that are involved in that. And so you weren't comfortable with giving us authority to get an appraisal to bring you back additional information. I just want to remind everybody, the resolution did not authorize anyone to purchase a property. It was the first step in being able to determine a value on it and then to bring you back a recommendation. And you and I have talked about it several times. We need more information for you on all the issues that are related.
Correct. And I think that coming to us and not giving us all the facts that you guys knew was really poor judgment on your part, and a really shows disrespect to this body.
Well, I strongly disagree. We just wanted the authority to be able to get an appraisal so we could give you all that information, and we've had this discussion probably four times, and we'll still disagree, Mr. Ebert.
Chuck Spiker.
If anyone's to blame, it should be me. I chair the committee. But exactly what the administrator said is for the two reasons, what authority we were getting from that resolution, that was it. It wasn't, but I got a question of the administrator now. Will that resolution have to be redone with us getting more information in that change, or will we go with what we got now?
I would guess that would be up to the two committees that have to act. You could indefinitely table that resolution and direct us to draft another one. You could end the issue and say we're not going to pursue the idea any further, but we'll give you all the information rather than keep coming back to that individual resolution. And if you direct us to draft a new resolution that accommodates all the issues involved, as Supervisor Ebert has suggested, we'll take your direction. But we want to answer all the questions that were raised and bring you back a whole lot more information and just take it a step at a time. So it'll be up to you.
Well, the board sent it to us and sent it back to executive, too, so the board really should have the final say. I mean, I don't want to table it in committee and not have the board come up and say something else. And so I guess we'll have to see what you have for information for that.
Yeah, and that'll be in your February meeting cycle.
Thank you.
Vicki Burke.
I wanted to go back to something under the work plan. Should I do that now?
Hold on just a second. Anything further on this one? Okay. Jeff Schrader?
You say you're going to give us a complete plan of what's going to happen out there. Is that?
Well, only our recommendation and the information of the facts that are involved. There were issues about impact on tax base, developable land, access to other adjacent land. There are also soil quantities that are on the Schroeder property that can benefit and save money in the landfill operations. There's the pros and cons of redoing the entryway and the safety issues that are involved, and probably a couple others that I'm not thinking of right now. But we want to give you all that data, and then you'll give us direction on what to do with that individual resolution or to redraft and start another process.
All right. How long have you known about all this other stuff?
Quite a few years. It's been talked about for a long time. Yeah, about 3 years. Because, again, the information that we talked about was that the department head's primary purpose was he was interested in dealing with the safety issues that are involved by the access. We needed to be able to find out what the value of the property is, which requires an appraisal before we can even bring you a final recommendation. We felt it was the first step in a long-term process to evaluate. The department head's evaluation was that for him, none of those other issues were as important as the safety entrance. You asked a whole lot of questions that we weren't prepared to answer and didn't have the data when the resolution came up, so we're working on getting that data for you.
Anything further on this one? All right.
Thank you.
Just a second, Ms. Burke. I think that Mr. O'Malley just missed that one item.
The executive committee also asked me to talk about the management team and the structure of that. As I've described for the executive committee, the management team is an internal administrative work group that I've had for a number of years. That's an extension of the department head work group. It's finance, personnel, corp counsel, and human services and administrator. We meet basically monthly and talk about issues that are coming up to make sure that we're on top of what's needing to be brought to the county board and decisions that are coming through the process. This year, about a year ago, I started inviting the county board chair to the meeting so that he could give us direction on what's happening, what's going on. Generally, Mr. Doyle doesn't make it to all of the meetings, and he won't stay for the entire meeting just because of his own schedule, but it's a good way of making sure, along with everything else we do, to try to keep issues in front of you that that we continue to move ahead. One of the items that I recognized this year was that we should add the IT and facilities department heads to that, because quite often there are overlapping issues of how we serve all departments, and I've proposed that we add the first and second vice chairs as well, particularly to make sure that we're on board with what we're bringing back to the county board, issues that are being anticipated, how we handle items that are coming through the process. So I thought it was an improvement to try to keep building on the connection that we have each year on how we report back to the board and that we're responsive to you and your processes.
Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had discussed this issue at executive board, and hopefully I can do it a little more clearly this evening so you understand my concern with it. In March or April of 2009, we had quite a discussion, and I think spent some money on inviting Dr. Walker to be here and talked about policy government and boundary management. And fortunately, I was able to find my notes on that policy governance and also on the work group on administration and policy that followed. And my concern is that it is my understanding that there's a definite authority and a definite structure as far as this kind of boundary management that we talked about particularly. And in looking through it and reading it again, I still think that one of those things was that the board, and you often speak about this, that the board sets policy, and that as the administrator, you're the link between the staff and the county board. And I think that one of the strong points, and I have complimented you on this in the past, is your use of the work groups and something like the management team. I think a strength of those work groups and the management team is that it doesn't have on it the elected individuals. I can kind of compare it to what I did. I taught for 35 years. I was an English department chairman at Logan. We had our department meetings, had a faculty council meeting, there were, I'm sure, at the next level, but elected the board of the school board did not attend as part of those meetings. Those were meetings at which we discussed the workings and some of the finer points of it. So I see no reason to place on that committee as a permanent part of the management team the first and second vice chair, in this case Supervisor Johnson and Supervisor Billings. I understand what you're saying about communication, and if that is truly the reason for doing it, then I would think that communication could be accomplished much better by using the five chairs of the standing committees, and because they have a direct communication with the other members of the standing committees. And so I personally don't think there should be any elected people sitting in. I can understand that you invited Steve in, and I think that was a good thing when you needed him, or you invited in the chairs when you needed them for a particular reason, as you discussed at the executive committee when you invited in the chair of Health and Human Services at the time that you were doing a transition with Jerry Huber left and you were replacing. The other thing that bothered me about the whole scenario was that it is the exclusion then of any other supervisors, and it has always been my feeling that one of the positive things is that when supervisors were placed on committees, that that didn't exclude others, and to me that was a part of it. That concerned me. When I was reading this about the boundary management, one of the things that it did say, And I think this was part of it too, that the board has the obligation to protect its staff from the board. The board as a body has an obligation to protect its staff from the board as individuals, and that simply means that that individuals talking with individual staff members, that we have this kind of line of authority, and that I think that when you put the elected people on something like the management team, then you changes the tenor of that conversation for people at that level, at least. I mean, when I was working with that same kind of situation with elected school board, that would have been would have happened. So for those are the two main reasons that I objected to it. I hope I have explained it a little more carefully clearly than I did at executive, but I would like you to continue to operate the management team with an invitation to the board chair as you see fit, and an invitation to committee chairs as you would need.
I'd like to respond to that, and I think that you have explained your concerns more clearly, but I don't think you understand it clearly. The management team is a communication tool. I'm there in my capacity as a department head. As the chair of the county board, I am the department head. Other members of the management team, when they are not able to be there, such as Bill, if he's not there, Dave Lang shows up. If Gary's not able to be there, his next person is there and so forth. When I'm not there, it's important to have somebody. And because the first and second vice chair are not here every day, like Bill's deputy, Gary's deputy, and so forth, I think it's important that they attend these meetings on a regular basis. This is a communication tool, from my perspective, within that group. In other words, it's important that the county attorney understands what's going on in the finance department, what's going on in the facilities department, or, you know, the parks department, whatever the case may be. It's not a decision-making body so much as a communication tool so that the left hand knows what the right hand is doing. And so I don't see any boundary issues in that respect, except in one manner, and that is that occasionally issues come up that are being discussed in the management team that I say, you know what, I think the board needs to know about that. I've found that to be probably the most important role that I have filled on that management team, is to say, even though that may be administration and not policy, it is significant enough administration that I think the board should be aware of what's going on. And so a lot of times what you see in the chair's report or my report or the administrator's report or sometimes even a planning meeting is due to it being mentioned in the management team. And I'm thinking, you know, our rule that we always have is, you know, if we're ever going to read about it in the paper, we better hear about it before that. Sometimes there are things that I think start to go that direction that I want the board to know about. So it's not a policy-making body. It's a communication body. And just as the other department heads have a fill-in person, I would like to have a fill-in person. And when you say, well, it should be the committee chairs are handpicked by me. The first and second vice chair are chosen by this body. I think it is more appropriate for the people who are chosen by this body to be the backup as opposed to my handpicked committee chair. So that's why I agree that Steve made the right call in terms of having the first and second vice chair. One thing, though, I want to emphasize, this is a staff meeting. It's not a committee meeting. It's a staff meeting. And I'm there as a staff member by virtue of being a department head. Ralph Geary, you had your hand up.
Thank you. Is a resolution coming in on this formation that we get to vote on or amend or discuss?
No, this is just for information.
It's just information. I was at that highway convention, and I think it came up at that meeting, that planning meeting that night. discuss issues that will be coming to the county board. They may be talking about an issue that could come before the county board at some future date.
We continue to try to strike the right balance of how we keep issues in front of you. For example, the committee chairs, and not every committee chair does this, has an agenda prep meeting to make sure that they're helping guide the agenda. I actually have a couple of committee chairs that don't come to those agenda prep meetings, and that's open to everybody. Chuck, for example, Vicki Burke, actually help us prepare the agenda. Human Services has, how long do we do our agenda prep meetings, Sharon? Probably about an hour. Whereas there are a couple of committee chairs, Aging and Long-Term Care and Planning Resources don't come to those. I keep trying to strike the right balance to make sure that we're keeping you up to date and preparing information for your agendas. Most of the time I'm not criticized that I haven't brought you information. I'm trying to get it right every time and to bring you information. It is about boundary management. It's trying to make sure that we're always striking the right balance to bring you the information and prepare the information for you to make decisions. The administrative work group has existed for the entire time that I've been here. We tried something called an expanded management team that was actually 12 of us. It was unwieldy. It was very difficult to work with, so we stayed with the five and reduced it to that, but I discovered that IT and facilities and the county board, department head, the county board chair, were not there, so we weren't always in sync on bringing information forward. So it just seemed to make sense to have some backup and to move ahead. So,
point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Menninger?
Yeah, you know, this is on here as administrator's report. Most of us have no background information in our packet on it. There was no sense that we were going to be discussing this item. I'm not even clear really what this is all about. Maybe other people share it. If we're going to have this big, long debate about how we're going to operate, it should be on the agenda. And you know, even if you're starting to add elected officials to management teams, you've got to have open meetings, discussions. This is not just some random, and this is like it just came out of left field here. This should be on an agenda.
Well, if I might just interject, it's listed in the order. Well, just to answer, it's in the work plan, and it's listed on the agenda specifically. It says management team.
Right, and I'm going to overrule your point of order. I think it is on the agenda, and this is a way of informing the board as to how we do business, and if people disagree with how we do business, we should hear it. I mean, if people think that we shouldn't do it this way, I want to hear it. And it's the only way I can think of to educate the board is to have people say, well, maybe there's a different way. So I'm okay on it unless Mr. Shepherd thinks we're...
It's in your packet. It's in the packet. It's the work plan that you've received. It was the item that was highlighted by Supervisor Burke at executive and asked to place on the agenda, which is why this is on the agenda tonight. I'm trying to follow through on what I was requested to do. Yeah.
I hadn't finished yet. I got interrupted on a point of order. I still had the floor, didn't I? I mean,
I thought you were done.
No.
Okay.
Okay. So my understanding of it now is there's some kind of communication group or whatever it is, and that information is going to be discussed before it goes to the main standing committee or the planning committee. I thought we had a planning committee.
No. You misunderstand what I said by communication. Mm-hmm. Is a communication tool within the staff.
Yeah.
It's not a communication tool in terms of let's figure out what we're going to bring to the county board, except when I hear that they're talking about something that I think the board should know about.
Okay, maybe I got to get clearer on this. Are legal notices going to be sent out?
No.
Is an agenda going to be prepared?
No. Well,
is
I do an agenda beforehand because each of these members need to know what we're going to be discussing. It's not a meeting of a public body. It's a meeting of a management work.
Well, it's getting more public as you add more supervisors. But will the news media be notified?
No, it's not a meeting.
It's a staff meeting.
It's a staff meeting.
Are other supervisors excluded?
It's a staff meeting.
Are other supervisors excluded? You're telling me three supervisors can go there. What about the other 32? What's their status?
I would say they are excluded.
So they're going to discuss issues that are going to come before the county board, but...
No, you aren't listening to me, Ralph. They are discussing issues that are internal matters, and occasionally I hear about an internal matter that is not a policy issue that I think is important enough, even though it is an administrative issue, that the board should know about it. It is not a discussion place for things that will be discussed by the board. It's a place where I hear things that I think the board should be informed about.
Okay. That's your spin on it?
No, the truth.
Mine is that if you're discussing anything that may be coming before the county board, it's circumventing the spirit of the open meetings law. I have the same concerns as Supervisor Burke, but when you add more and more supervisors to a committee, to me it should be having notices, agendas, secretary, whatever, minutes. The one I could live with, but now that if you expand it, three, why can't we have four if we can have three? Why can't we have four? We'd probably definitely fall under the open meetings thing if we happen to have a quorum of a committee on the thing.
Clearly.
So that's why we're going to do it with three, because we can circumvent the open meetings law.
There's no intent to circumvent the open meetings law. The intent is just the opposite, to bring information into the public body that either myself or now the first or second vice chair thinks, hey, the board should hear about this.
Right. But if there's going to be an agenda prepared ahead of time, then why not send it out? Then the news media or the county board members or whatever
Any further points? We have another few hands that are up. Andrea Richmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with the county board speakers, Burke and Gary, that spoke on this. At any committee meeting, if the chair is absent, the vice chair or the vice chair person takes over for that meeting when someone is absent. I see no need to have a second vice chair. I don't see any need at all. I think if you are, as the chairperson, is unable to attend that meeting, you would notify Supervisor Johnson that you will not be at that meeting, and if at all possible, she would be in attendance. I think we should limit it to one supervisor at that management meeting only. I see no need to have three supervisors from the county board at those meetings. And I have to wonder how the management team actually would feel, the department heads would feel with three supervisors sitting there listening. I don't know if they would even feel comfortable bringing out different issues in front of them. So I guess I'm asking Mr. O'Malley to limit it to only one supervisor to be in attendance at that meeting. And if it needs to come back for a vote on that, maybe it should be in a resolution. So thank you.
Margaret Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In listening to this, especially your response to Supervisor Burke, I have never served on the executive committee, so I haven't, and I have not attended it by choice. But actually, as you were talking about sharing information and making sure enough people knew, actually, that's what I thought the executive committee did. So that's, you know, I might be wrong in that, but to me, you weren't, I mean, in my mind, for what I know, I thought you were talking about executive committee and what they did and the function of that committee versus this other committee that I have not looked at either or served on or attended.
Sharon Hampson.
Thank you. Can you give us an example of the topics that come up in there? Because we're kind of, I think That'd that will help us narrow it.
Well, I just brought up on my screen. Here's the agenda for the last meeting. County Administrator's Work Plan, Subjects for Policy Planning Meetings, March 3rd Criminal Justice Town Hall Meeting, Highway Commissioner Interviews, other personnel matters that are going on. There are a couple of disciplinary matters that we were talking about that will end up coming up. Agenda issues for department head meeting and roundtable. There's nothing.
Right.
These are all issues where we're going, gee, how do we bring these up? When are they happening? Are we missing something?
They're
the right hand has to know what the
day,
left hand. It's
right,
day-to-day okay. kinds of
so
things.
So what's the frequency of the meetings?
Once a month.
Okay. And the three supervisors we're talking about are officers. Wouldn't you call them officers of the county board?
Correct. That's why I was respectful of the process.
Okay. And then if the health department, for instance, has a staff meeting, should I be there?
I guess if you're there, you're the chair of the Health and Human Services Board. I don't think...
I don't want to be there.
But you come to recognition events and some mm-hmm. other types of mm-hmm. things where there are discussion items that are being done.
Yeah.
Again, right. This is a perfect example of the kinds of lists of things that we talk about mm-hmm. that are trying to get everybody in the same direction. Mm-hmm. How are we going to plan out when topics are coming up? How are we going to deal with the issues of the criminal justice town hall meeting that's coming up? How do we inform the board? The issues about even the highway commissioner interviews, we're trying to figure out how to involve the public works committee because we keep involving them in hiring of department heads. It's those kinds of issues that cut across lines of how each of us in the management group, finance, personnel, admin.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with the officers of the county board attending.
John Menninger.
Yeah, and I'm not going to make any more points word. I'll get overruled anyway, but...
Probably.
Yeah. But we can't debate... You know, it says on the minutes, for example. You don't debate every item on the minutes. You either approve them or amend them, and that's about all you do. If we'd be here for 47 days, if we had to debate every, if we could debate every item and every minute of every county board thing. But when I was mayor, I remember I was told I could meet with my department heads all day long without open meetings notices. As soon as I had an elected official in there, a member of the city council, I was treading on thin ice as far as the open meetings law went. And you certainly couldn't ask one city council member to come in there and not everybody else. You're going to say one could come in, but the rest are locked out of the building? I mean, either elected or fit, I think you're at real issues here with the open meetings law. And that's why I said this is not some light little discussion here. This is the law. And you can't say, well, let's just do it this way because we're all like each other. We have to obey the law.
I think that you run into open meetings law if you open it up too much, and that's why I responded to the question about is it open to any county board member who wants to show up? I said no, because then you do run into issues of quorum. As Mr. O'Malley mentioned, one of the topics in this last meeting was personnel issues. Okay, they were internal disciplinary things that are not going to get to the full board. And if we send out meeting notices, does that mean that we then have to have this committee go into closed session because the Tribune might show up and get the names of these people or what's going on and that kind of thing? I think people are seeing something sinister in a mechanism that we thought did just the opposite, which was to provide transparency. I think that 99 times out of 100, Mr. O'Malley gets the call right in terms of this is administration versus this is policy. Occasionally I have said it might be getting close to policy and I think the board should know about it. And more often than not, it's because I heard about it at a management team meeting and it occurred to me that this is something that, the board should know about. It's an intent to bring sunlight into that process as opposed to close it off. And my concern is that if we say it's going to be like another committee and we're going to do meeting notices and all county board members can show up and everything, then you will have department member or department heads who clam up and say, if there's going to be a bunch of county board members there, it's no longer a staff meeting. It's now another county board committee meeting. That's not what this is intended to be. This is an internal staff meeting. And, you know, to use Sharon's terms, the officers of the board that we thought might expand it up a little bit further in case one of those two feels that, gee, Steve, you know, you didn't say anything, but I think that this should get to the full board. That's why. I mean, if the board wants to exclude the officers, I guess I'm respectful of that. I thought it was a good thing to bring two more sets of eyes to this as opposed to a bad thing. But I certainly, and I'm sure Mr. O'Malley is respectful if that's the board's sentiment.
Let me use as an example of a very real example of what happened in, I believe it was the December management team meeting. We talked about, and one of the items was the legal issues, the liability lawsuits and issues that we had outstanding, a number of issues. And as a result of that, Mr. Doyle asked that we addend your and make an addendum to your December agenda and specifically go into closed session to update you on all of the outstanding litigation that was there. And we did that. Now, Mr. Doyle wouldn't have known of those four or five cases that we've got that we're dealing with, and we wouldn't have added that had he not said, hey, the board should know about that. We should go into closed session. We should keep them up to date on, and Mr. Shepard went through a whole list of those cases. A personnel matter, for example, that was discussed just briefly, not the details, but was discussed briefly at the management team meeting, was what you read about today in the paper. The sheriff, as a result of that kind of input, called Supervisor Burke and let you know that that was going to be an item that would be public, called Supervisor Doyle. And those are the kinds of things that we try to keep the chair of committees up to date on. When you're going to read about it in the paper, we try to let you know about it beforehand. But it's a check and a balance to let us know these are items that are coming up. So that's one example where it completely changed what we were going to put on the agenda based on direction from the chair. He wouldn't have had that opportunity had he not been a part of that meeting. So that's a perfect example where something had to be brought to you. And I don't think anyone on the board felt that we should not have brought that information to you.
Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Malley, during your tenure as county administrator, you've made it a priority to communicate with the county board, and you've done an excellent job with that. You were the impetus behind planning meetings, which we added a completely new meeting to our monthly schedule. You've instituted monthly reports where we get by every other month we get reports from each department. You've done an excellent job communicating to the board. We've got more information. You've made it easier to get information. That's a good thing, I guess. But I do hear, though, the concern I do kind of resonates me with a little bit is what would we have in absence of a supervisor at this meeting? And we'd still be getting this information. We'd still be getting you'd still be giving us reports. We still have the opportunity to ask questions every meeting, public meeting. We ask questions. We can add agenda items. I mean, I guess some questions. What would be the alternative to not if we didn't have a supervisor at that meeting?
We would continue to have management team meetings as we've had every month since I started. I keep trying to strike the right balance to make sure that we anticipate things. And occasionally in my earliest years, there would be times where things would come up that board members would be surprised. The chair, the vice chair, major items that I didn't get right. I'm just trying to get it right that we are anticipating the things that can be politically volatile, that are anticipating things, and I don't get everything right. And we'll give equal time to Supervisor Ebert to debate and point out all those things that I don't get right. But I keep trying to strike the right balance.
Andrea Richmond.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. This seems to be politically volatile. So I really strongly feel you really only need one supervisor there. If the chair is unable to attend, then call the next person in line, the vice chair. I really don't see the need to have three supervisors at that meeting, and I think you should take that recommendation just to have one person. I don't think it's fair to the rest of the county board, and I don't even know if we should even be discussing this tonight. I did listen to the planning meeting over and over, and it was discussed right at the end of the planning meeting on Monday night a week ago, but I think, Mr. O'Malley, you really probably only need one person from the county board to have that representation, and I would hope that you would go forward with that. Thank you.
Jill Billings.
This is my fourth meeting in the county today, and they've all been good meetings. They've all been worthwhile meetings, but I'm finding it ironic that after putting in so much time Wednesday advocating for the county and going to four meetings today, I'm arguing to go to another meeting. But for what it's worth, I think that there is some question about the definition of some of these groups. To me, it is appropriate to go to a management team meeting. It's different from the work group meetings. There has been a precedent for this in my tenure on the board. When Jerry Huber left, Sharon Hampson and I, as chair and vice chair of the Health and Human Services Board, attended some of the management meetings there as another set of ears and eyes, and it was helpful. And I don't believe that staff was in any way concerned about our presence. I think that it's good. There's a reason why we have chair and vice chair for our committee meetings. For example, I was just at an agenda prep meeting with Sharon, and sometimes there are things that, brilliant as she is as our chair, she might miss. And she looks to me, and as her vice, I can maybe bring up points that she might not think of, and it makes a better, smoother process. It makes a better process. The idea that there is some sort of a conspiracy here actually is so funny that I'm not even offended by it. You know, someone said, well, why don't you have four people there? Because it's a quorum, so you don't have four. No, the reason why we have three is because this body has elected a chair and a vice chair and a second vice chair. That's a simple reason why it would be three of us. I did attend the management team meeting this month. Steve wasn't able to go. Tara was not able to go. And I asked staff on one occasion, would you like me to leave the room now? Would this be a time when Steve would leave the room? And I was told, no, you can stay. Why don't you just stay? And I don't think that I'm such a threatening personality that people are not comfortable speaking in front of me. I was elected as your representative, and I as second vice chair, and that's an honor, and that's something I take very seriously. And I take this job very seriously. When I was asked to come along, if the board decides that it's not appropriate, then I will, of course, sit with the board's decision. But I just feel like I agree with the chair on this. When the administrator asked about Tara and I attending the meetings, we were not jumping on it, power hungry, ready for more meetings. We actually gave him a little pushback and said, well, let's think about it. What's the benefit? What's the drawback? And at that time, it made sense to us, and I still think it does.
Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the risk of beating a dead horse, not kicking a cat, I think we're all a little crisper on the edges on this issue. I just want to clarify that whatever gets decided is fine with me. I would follow Supervisor Billings. I do not need another county meeting to attend in the course of a month. I will be happy to attend if that's what is asked of me. I want to make it very clear, though, that we are not, this conversation is not under the rubric of policy governance. We do not operate as a policy governance board. And I think it's really important that we are very clear about that. That information that Supervisor Burke referenced was information that Mr. O'Malley shared with us early on in his tenure with the county. It helped frame some good conversations. I think it definitely moved us along the path that we are on now, which is a clearer understanding of our role as policymakers and not what we used to call in hushed terms micromanagers. But we do not operate as a policy governance board, and I want to make sure for the record that we clarify this. Whatever happens in this discussion is because of our comfort level as county board supervisors, and I absolutely respect that. This is not a sword that I am wanting to fall on at all, but it should not be confused at all with trying to establish boundaries in a policy governance model. School District of La Crosse has it. Western Wisconsin Cares has it. There are some examples in our community. But this county board does not operate under a policy governance model. I just want to make sure we're all clear on that.
We do have a couple more hands up. And I have not cut off the discussion in this because I actually think this is good and important discussion. I think that it is important that we talk about these things. And if people, if I get a sense that the board wants to go in a different direction, I think we need to respect that. It's not listed as an agenda item for a vote, so we're not going to be voting on anything. But I do think it is valuable to get the input of the board, and I'm not bothered at all when people have a different viewpoint on this. So I'm going to keep this discussion going for a minute to let other people have their say. Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Seeing how this, this item has morphed into a debate, I move to limit debate.
And limited in what respect? Hours? Days?
One speaker only at a time. One speaker, one time.
One time? Okay. Is there a second on that? Second by Joe Bilskemper. All in favor of limiting debate to one? I need a clarification on that. Right. That's what I need the clarification on. Ralph is one of the people who is listed to talk again. Does he get to talk again or no under your motion?
That would be a no.
Okay. So if you... Okay. One time... during the total discussion. Is the motion seconded by Joe Bilskemper? All in favor of that limitation say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
I believe the noes have it. At least they were louder, so that failed. All right. I am trying to call on people who haven't spoken yet before I go back to the second go-around. So, Monica Cruz, you're up next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I came to this discussion with no opinion at all, and I found it very interesting to listen to everyone's input here tonight. And so my question at this point is the purpose of having supervisors at this management meeting to help manage, or is the purpose to have them be a liaison back to the rest of the board for communication purposes? If the latter is the case, then I think three supervisors is too much of a critical mass. They could influence the discussion. Having them there, I think, could be intimidating to the management team. I think then one person would be enough as a liaison. If the purpose is for them to have input, then I would be okay with three people.
Do your meetings. What's the purpose?
Well, it's not to help manage. It's to make sure we're on track. It's just to keep touching base. I mean, it's our job is to manage. Our job is to administer, to make sure that we're within the bounds of the policies that you folks have set and that we're keeping you up to date as a policy-making group, committees, and full board in making decisions. I never expected this long a discussion on it. I was just trying to figure out a better way to make sure that we're on track. The agenda prep meetings are one example. The monthly reports that we do are another example. The policy planning items, as I described the agenda that we did this month just as an example, it's all items that in some way, shape, or form are coming to you. And it's to make sure that we're touching the right numbers, that we're bringing the right information, that we're not missing something. You know, I have regular meetings on legal matters, just me and Bill. I have regular items on finances where we're making decisions, but they're all within the bounds of your ordinances, the laws, those types of things. This is not to make decisions. I have the authority to make decisions without any of you there. I have an administrative authority under statute, but that's not what this is about. This is trying to make sure that we're always responsive to and bringing the things you need to know, so you're not reading about it in the newspaper and say, why didn't I know about that? Or we're not anticipating things that are coming up. So again, I obviously will respect whatever direction the board wants us to go on this. But there's nothing nefarious in it. I described the agenda that we just did. It's all about items that are coming to you in some way, shape, or form in the next few months and trying to just get it right.
Ralph Geary.
Mr. Chairman, this will be my second and last time. This isn't a conspiracy theory. I think Mr. Miniger summed it up just right. It's about the law. And any way you look at it, it looks like we're trying to circumvent it. We had a mechanism to handle this situation. Remember when we created the planning committee meeting and what the planning meeting was intended for? You know what it is now? It's a second county board meeting. We were only going to vote on resolutions on rare occasions. Now we've got resolutions, appointments. It looks like there's very little difference in the agenda between that Monday and this Thursday, except we're voting on different issues. That planning meeting, he told us, by recollection, we'll brainstorm. We'll talk about issues that are coming in the future. You'll ask the county board for input. If we need a closed session at some time, we'll get it. If we need to start it off in the health committee or the highway committee or something, it'll go there. The communication mechanism was the planning meeting, not the management team meeting. So I think you've gotten away from what that planning meeting was intended to do. And take a good look at the original, the agendas we have now compared to what we had when we first started it. When we first started it, it was a lot of informational stuff. There's a lot less informational stuff and a lot more voting stuff. So I'm sticking with Mr. Miniger on this one. It's about the law.
My recollection is we did not have any votes at the last planning meeting. We learned about the solid waste. Okay, a proclamation. My mistake. All right, Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand the concept. I know you think that I don't understand, but
that is correct.
I can understand that they have the communication among the management team, and that's what the management team meeting is. I understand that occasionally you're being there to answer questions or to think, but I do not think it precludes that Mr. O'Malley, who has an office right next to yours, might not be able to ask about a particular issue that as to whether or not it should come to the county board or not. My concern is that that you do not need elected supervisors in a management team situation. And I agree that with Supervisor Geary that the planning meetings are an opportunity to get that kind of input as to whether or not something has to be brought to the next meeting for a vote, and that we have that informational monthly information that's sent out to supervisors on issues that are not going to be discussed necessarily on the floor of the board that are happening in different departments. I guess don't buy the explanation.
Okay, I'm going to wrap this up and I get the final word. One of the things that I've been very sensitive to in my role as chair, because people accused my predecessor of, you know, being power grabber or, you know, that type of thing, and a certain person from rural West Salem thinks that I have too much power, is to go the opposite direction and try to push things out. And rather than having the county board chair be the only one that hears stuff at the management team, to have other people participate in it. So when Mr. O'Malley came to me with this suggestion, I said that makes sense because that's consistent with my philosophy that instead of consolidating everything in one person or a couple people, that we get more people involved. And Mr. Geary mentions the policy planning meetings. Many of the things that are on those agendas come from the management team. That's why they ended up in policy planning, is because it came up in management team and I or somebody else said, hey, the whole board should hear about this. And that's why it's there. And policy planning meetings are not the same thing as county board meetings. They are informative, and I hear that on a very regular basis from Mr. Menninger, who constantly tells me I became a county board member because I wanted to vote on things. I don't want to just hear reports. I want to vote on things. Well, you know, we've tried to strike a happy medium and occasionally have votes like on proclamations and stuff at policy planning, but it is an education process. And sometimes we come up with things that other people hadn't realized that the full board might be interested in knowing about, and I'm all for having more as opposed to less. It's Mr. O'Malley's call on what he's going to do with the management team. I am not the chair of the management team. He's the boss of the management team. If he wants to do whatever at this point, I guess that's his call. But we're going to move on the agenda at this point. But again, I do want to say I think this was a helpful discussion. I think we need to do this once in a while to make sure that we try to keep people on the same page. So those of you who participated in this discussion, you know, thank you very much. I do appreciate your input. Mr. O'Malley.
The next items I have, hopefully, will go quick.
Mr. Schrader, point of information?
Things that are in the minutes?
In what if it relates to an agenda?
About 4 months ago, I wanted to discuss something that was in the minutes, and I was shut down by you immediately.
Because it was not on the agenda, but this was on the agenda.
This is?
Yes, it's under under administrator's report, county administrator's work plan follow-up evaluation and management team meetings. This was an agenda item.
The executive committee asked me to put this on, and that's how I listed it.
Right.
Otherwise, this wouldn't have been back on the agenda. The administrator's work plan was brought back to you with this specific item listed.
Go ahead, Mr. O'Malley.
Okay. Update on Park Plaza. We'll not have anything new to bring to you just yet. We do have a tentative agreement with the adjacent landowners, as I said, that will be presented through the committee process for joint marketing. However, we were not able to receive any proposals for joint marketing from marketing firms on that. So we're trying to ascertain why we didn't get proposals, and Charlie Handy is meeting again with the adjacent landowners, Water Place One, and trying to see what that means for our next steps with that. So we'll bring that back to you. We're going to continue working on it, but we weren't able to get a marketing firm to actually submit proposals for you to consider. So there are three items that we'll deal with in Park Plaza. One is the joint marketing agreement with the adjacent landowners. Secondly is marketing by an outside firm. And third is an agreement between the city and county revisiting the agreement we had for the intergovernmental agreement on cost sharing and the TIF agreement and those kinds of things. So again, we continue to work on it. I don't have any decisions for you, but we were not successful in getting a marketing firm to respond to that proposal. That's what we talked about last month. So stay tuned. We'll continue to work on this. As those of you that have been on the board a long time know, this has been a long time in coming, and we keep trying to make progress.
Andrea Richmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I have to ask the question, Mr. O'Malley, how far out did you have marketing proposals sent out?
I don't remember the total number, but it was several firms that were interested in receiving the proposals. Charlie Handy handled it. So
out of state? Did you do out of state?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Okay. At least the Midwest, if not beyond.
Okay.
Yeah,
there were some from Minneapolis that
Minneapolis firms, Chicago firms. We tried many places, and so we're going back to the drawing board.
So how does that affect the meeting that's going on this evening with the Port of La Crosse? Is there any correlation between that at all?
Tell me more.
I don't believe that has anything to do with the...
Okay. Yeah.
Again, the three items that I've talked about are a joint marketing agreement that would have to be acted on by this body in joint marketing with Water Place One, so the two of us could market together. Two would be awarding a marketing contract jointly to an independent firm that would help market it, not a developer.
Okay.
And third is revisiting the, I believe it's 2003 intergovernmental agreement between the county and the city on the operation of the TIF and the division of costs and responsibilities and division of sale proceeds, those kinds of things. So all three of those have to come back through the elected officials, and I'm sorry, I just don't have, it's not going as quickly as we had hoped. So just to keep you up to date.
Any other questions?
Okay.
The third item, and I'll bring this up again in February, but just a reminder, March 3rd, if you don't have it on your calendar yet, will be a Criminal Justice Town Hall meeting. The Public Relations Committee of the Criminal Justice Management Council has been pulling together a great deal of good information. That presentation will actually happen for you as a county board at your February 21st policy planning meeting. So you'll get the first kind of preview, so to speak, of a lot of the issues and ideas that will be talked about at the March 3rd planning or Criminal Justice Town Hall meeting. You don't have to go. If we have a quorum, of course, we'll post a public meeting notice. If you can consider that and let me know or let the county clerk know if you're planning to attend there, we're only going to have between 100 and 150 people there. It will be a town hall meeting done by Scott Hackworth from Channel 19. The La Crosse Tribune will be there. There will actually be a panel meeting of Judge Pacell, and the sheriff will actually be leading a discussion on that with Scott Hackworth working within audience members that will be there and asking questions. That will actually be a live call-in show. And so one of the main reasons I wanted to mention this, if you're interested in attending, please do. A lot of the discussion will be not about county board members interacting with the judges and sheriff and probation parole. It will be Scott Hackworth on behalf of the public asking key people within the criminal justice system about how the system's working, pros, cons, how we're actually dealing with those kinds of things. So again, it'll get a little clearer when that presentation is made February 21st. So keep that in mind. Again, I don't expect that every board member will go, but I just wanted to make sure you knew about it. And if you got a chance to pencil it in, I think it's pretty dynamic. It's going to be in the jail. The sheriff has been very receptive to that, so it will be broadcast and will really give people a clear understanding of where we as a community, a county, are at in how we do criminal justice, all the kinds of innovations that we've had, and a lot of the things that are being discussed. So I think both of those meetings will be very important. The February 21st policy planning meeting will be the report, and then the March 3rd town hall meeting. So I hope you're interested in that, and it will address a lot of the questions we've been working on throughout. So,
questions on that? Tina Weirs.
Thank you. What time does the town hall actually start?
The town hall is actually scheduled for
7 o'clock, except that you'll need to get there a little bit before 6 o'clock. They are going to be doing security because you'll be going into the jail.
And again, we'll do more reminders about that and probably have a sign-up sheet at the February 21st. Members of the public will be asked to sign up, and there'll be a process for that as we get closer to that date. But hopefully the 21st, I can get a clear idea for the sheriff and for the whole operation. Because again, no offense, we don't want to have the whole 150 people dominated by only public officials. If you want to come, more the merrier. We want to do that. But the key is to try to get members of the public and members of the criminal justice system as part of this cross-section that'll be in the town hall meeting. So we want to get a clearer idea of who's wanting to make that commitment to attend.
Anybody else? Okay, let's go on to appointments. Actually, before that, cards and correspondence, check the board, please, and no meetings during recess.
Chairman Doyle.
Just have one appointment, Teresa Walter to the Solid Waste Policy Board to replace Dave Corcoran.
Is there a second? Seconded by Supervisor Brockmiller. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carries unanimously.
Thank you. Consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda by Mr. Plesha, seconded by Mr. Sobranek? Questions or comments on the consent agenda? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Planning, Resource, and Development, Marilyn Pedretti.
I'll let the games begin. All right. I'm going to work with a cold here, so excuse me. Item number 1-5, conditional use permit number 821, filed by Fred and Elizabeth Schomburg to amend conditional use permit number 422. To allow continued topsoil stockpiles, removal, and sale on approximately 9.0 acres of land zoned exclusive ag district in the town of Barrie. I move for its approval with five conditions.
Marilyn Pedretti moves the committee report, which is to approve subject to five conditions, seconded by Tina Weirs. Discussion or questions on this one? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item number 1-6, zoning petition number 1858, filed by Steve Idy and Mike Brown, acting on behalf of the Knights of Columbus, to rezone from Agriculture District A to Commercial District B in the town of Madary. I move its approval. Let's see if there was conditions. No conditions, and I ask to retain the floor.
Move the committee report, which is to approve. Andrea Richmond, was your hand up for seconding? Seconded by Andrea Richmond. Go ahead, Ms. Pedretti.
Okay. While I did oppose this at the committee level, I will be supporting it tonight. Commercial zoning is one of those I probably should have done a little bit more homework. I have since done my reading. The town of Madary's long-range plan clearly supports this as commercial. It's a commercial corridor. As a matter of fact, their long-range plan on 9-3 says to promote the redevelopment of lands with existing infrastructure and public services and the maintenance and rehabilitation of existing residential, commercial, and industrial structures. This meets that completely. I talked to a couple of officials at the town of Madary after the meeting just to get a better handle on my concern for the commercial being open-ended. Was reassured there are 37 possible categories, but most of them are very self-limiting. And so I have been cleared up on my concerns, and I'm comfortable approving it without any conditions. Thank you.
Further discussion, anybody? Maureen Friedland.
Yes, I'm disturbed by the zoning situation and the long-range planning situation that we have up there. It seems to me as if we shouldn't be encouraging businesses to put more traffic on and off this very busy highway. I recognize the potential for more development. I would like to see it develop along the lines that's still there. Improving the Knights of Columbus building would be good, and as I understand it, it's basically the restaurant business is going to be basically the same thing, although it's very unclear what kind of signs will be there because those applications hadn't been made yet. But what I'm concerned about is the fact that this will go to business B, and within those 37 categories that Supervisor Pedretti talked about, it's really basically anything except for gas station and a couple of other things. It would include more storage units and more pieces of property that I think do not add to the attractiveness of La Crosse and work towards creating a situation where the city of La Crosse tends to be much less attractive, and we lower our tax base when the city of La Crosse is not a desired location either for living or for businesses. I think there should have been some conditional use permit put on this, and that the municipality should be talking more about the issues that concern each other, and that this is bad zoning, and I'm going to vote against it.
Jill Billings.
Thank you. I'm wondering if I can speak with Jeff.
Certainly. Jeff, please come forward.
I'm wondering about the safety of this situation. People have different ideas of driving in and out of those businesses along 16. Some people feel very comfortable. Some people are not as comfortable. And I appreciated the information that we had at our desk. I think this actually came from Mike Brown and Steve Idy. I appreciated some of this information. It helped answer some of my questions. But some I was confused about. If you look at these areas where there were accidents and look at the map that you provided on the very top, it looks we have State Road 16 and some little streets that come out. I know where La Crosse Street is, but Sunset and Bluff, how do those fall around the business here?
They're actually north of this area.
Okay.
There is a driveway. If you look at the dark black line on the top there, everything south and west of that is in the city of La Crosse. There's a road going to the Scout, can't remember what they call that building down there, but there's probably about 15 residences back there. There's a bus stop just past that entrance.
You're talking about Quarry?
Yeah, Quarry Road. I'm sorry. And the rest of the driveways that are referred there are to the north, all the way up to County Road B and where Gillette Street comes out. There's a frontage road that was established when Highway 16 was widened. That's around the commercial area that has Happy Sleeper, Napa, and there's some other businesses that are in there, State Farm and some optical and things like that. So there was a road, I think it was County Road BM, that went up past the Capaggio, that restaurant up there.
Capaggio.
Okay. All right. Ate there once. But anyway, that comes back down on the north end. Pretty close to the County Highway B intersection. There's been a lot of studies in that area. I think the county board is very, very current with what they call Cooley Visions, the north-south issues that are still on the table but not being discussed. There's traffic issues. There's ways that it could alleviate traffic on Highway 16. There's about 33,000 cars a day now. Capacity is probably around 40,000. People that drive the thing at rush hour knows that there's a traffic problem out there, especially if there's an accident, because it backs up traffic all the way to La Crosse Street. Those problems are never going to go away. When we deal with firms that come in and study areas, they want areas in high traffic. They want that view for commercial property. There's a lot of businesses that want that, you know, because you don't put a business off the beaten path because nobody's going to see you. You're not going to be discovered. So when the county and the town looked at land use in those areas, it was determined with a lot of thought that these are the areas that should have development. Our plan even goes as far as to say non-residential in these areas. We don't specifically call it that. So the town, on the other hand, can get into the detail if they like, where they actually call areas that are going to be residential, single family, duplex, fourplex, multifamily. We don't do that. If there's going to be an area proposed for residential, it should have it. The same as commercial. You shouldn't limit what's going to go on. There are areas where it's been identified in the plan as mixed use because it's in high residential concentrations. Those are the areas that the towns have indicated there should be conditions placed on it. You shouldn't give it the list of 36 things that could happen in there. So a lot of thought has gone into this. You know, there's going to be traffic situations no matter where you go, you know, in the commercial areas. It'd be like saying the mall couldn't go there because there's a traffic problem. It's they want the traffic, and people put up with the traffic. So there's been a business there, and any business that would go in there would, I think, is going to be successful. You know, they're going to have to deal with the issues. The petitioner in this case indicated that they're aware that the first driveway when you're headed north is an issue. So they've indicated they're going to make the more northerly driveway entrance the main entrance. So it's not a problem. So once you get past it, oh, there it is. You've got the driveway to pull in. So people want to be careful. You know, it's they don't want accidents to happen.
Okay, that was a thorough answer. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. You shut up. All right, thank you.
I have another
don't
question.
Ask
I'm a little
you
afraid.
You want to hear how the watch was made, right? All right.
My second question is, in the minutes, I believe it was Charlie Handy that talked about rating of the road was a D to an F.
Yeah.
What does that mean to the layperson?
Okay. Our La Crosse Area Planning Commission is the MPO, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, puts a rating along with the Department of Transportation on roads. The different classifications end up indicating that if they're near capacity, they're going to be rated D or F, and they're going to need some improvements in a very, very short time. And in budget issues related to highway improvements, things have to be prioritized. You know, there's just not budget money for these things. So when these issues end up coming up, whether they're at the county level, the municipality level, or state, they're in competition with other areas that need the same amount of money. So they generally take a look at things like accidents. Should there be frontage roads? Those kinds of things. Are there areas that could be used as alternative fixes to take the pressure off? So this has been already designated a D. That's why it's being studied, and it's kind of on the back burner with the DOT right now. But everything along there is a DOT state project. This isn't a local project.
Could you tell me, does the project include a service road like they have up by La Crosse Veterinary Clinic and the businesses that are farther north?
It could.
But it doesn't right at this
it doesn't,
right now.
That's not one of the options that's been identified.
Okay.
The only options that have been identified is through the La Crosse Marsh up to County Road B, connecting River Valley Road up to Highway 157. So that's the only alternatives.
Okay. Thank you.
Andrea Richmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would encourage the supervisors to approve this. We need to encourage more business and more economic development and hopefully increase more tax base for the county. And as it was stated, there were no accidents reported in front of the Knights of Columbus property or any other businesses that were listed in this packet that I had handed out. And I just think that we need to just encourage more business and approve this tonight and go forward. I think it's a very reputable business that's going in there, and we certainly would encourage that. Thank you.
John Menninger.
Yeah, I intend to support this too, but I want to reference Mr. Handy's remarks in that same area that the Supervisor Billings talked about. It says, the DOT solution is to create a new north-south corridor. This solution is not opposed by the city of La Crosse. That is not true. Well, Mr. Handy shouldn't be, I don't know if he's incorrectly quoted in here or if he doesn't know what the situation is. This north-south corridor is not supported by the city of La Crosse. It says that it is. And either the record has to be clarified or Mr. Handy has to understand the situation with the city of La Crosse. I mean, I'm right. That's not, this is not correct. Does he understand it's not correct?
I think so, yeah. I think the minutes might be wrong, so our next meeting
they're not
we'll
might
have to
be wrong,
that.
They're wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't have to make a point of order to clarify that either. I would like the minutes to be changed to reflect that this is incorrect.
Okay.
Yeah, the committee will take care of that. Is there a full moon tonight or something?
Well, this is a public record, and it says
sure.
The city supports a north-south corridor. And
okay.
It does not.
That, okay, John. We'll be fine on that one. We'll take care of it. Don Bina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're not changing the business. The business was there before. The ownership is changing, and the only thing that's changing is zoning. We're going from what it was to commercial. It is on a four-lane highway, so there's a lot of traffic there, and that's not going to change, but the business is not changing, so I'd suggest you support it also.
Chuck Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I understand, the county committee approved this on a 4-2 vote, and I think Marilyn has changed her opinion. It's probably 5-1 now. The Madary Town Board approved this. The Madary has a comprehensive plan that this follows, and the department head,
yes,
Mr. Blusky, recommends approval, right?
We're trying to be consistent with the plan, correct.
Thank you very much.
Dan Ferries.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was going to pass because I echo what I've heard from the last few people here. You know, it's past the committee on the Madera level. It's go in line with the comprehensive plan or the study out there with the commercial mm-hmm. corridor going into the city of La Crosse. It's an extension of the existing business. The only thing's different is ownership and the zoning. In my opinion, the traffic flow isn't going to increase because of this business. This isn't a destination type of a restaurant. This is going to be a convenience. You're driving by it. So I'm not looking as that people are going to go way out of their way to get here. It's a traffic flow thing. The highway set up, it's got a center lane for people to turn in and exit out of it. It's a perfect location for it. I'm just going to support it. Thank you.
Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure that the owners want this to be known as a non-destination restaurant. just a clarification. Mr. Blesky, you said, what was the plan for the... There's a south entrance and a north, and what was the plan?
The plan is to move the main entrance right now appears to be the south one, but neither one of them are marked.
Okay.
That's the one closest, or it's the southerly one.
Yeah.
Okay. So the main entrance is going to be identified, and this is according to the applicant, is going to be marked as the entrance.
Okay, but okay. That will be the south one.
No.
The north one.
Okay, so that might be something you want to check in your minutes also, because this, from the answer, when that question was asked, mm-hmm. it says to use the south one as the entrance and the north one as the exit, because it would give them more time to see the traffic as they are getting out.
Okay.
So that might be another
correction
in the minutes,
correction.
Along with Mr. Handy's statement.
Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ronald Reagan said entrepreneurs are responsible for almost all economic growth in the United States. We should support economic growth and not look for some hypothetical scenario of something that might happen in the future. I'm going to support this because I think it's the right thing to do.
Well, we'll see if Mr. Feehan, who's up next, will agree with Mr. Reagan.
You know the answer to that. He's my hero. Let's let Mr. Brown get back to his business. I call for the question.
We only have one more person, so let's just take care of her, Margaret, and then those were all the hands I saw.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Should this establishment turn into another kind of business that needs a different kind of license, et cetera, do they go back to Madera, or do they go back to the county, or... Who
they
do not
come back to us,
but
or the town of Madera.
So, no. when you need licenses that may be approved or not approved, who takes care of that?
Liquor license you apply to the municipality for. That's the only license. Food licenses would be health department. Those kinds of inspections are still done by the health department.
Okay, all in favor of the committee report, which is to approve, say aye. Pose no. One no, Maureen Friedland. All right, next item. That passes, by the way, sorry.
Wasn't that fun? Item number 1-7, zoning petition number 1860, filed by Paul Petraski, acting on behalf of Interstate Development of La Crosse, LLC, to rezone from Ag District A and Commercial District B with conditions for no residential use to Commercial District B in the town of Campbell. And... there were no conditions. I move for its approval.
Ms. Pedretti moves the committee report, which is to approve, seconded by Dennis Montai. Discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item number 1-8. After the fact, conditional use permit number 822, filed by Paul Kemmel, acting on behalf of Kemmel Custom Excavating, LLC, for an after the fact permit to operate an excavation business with soil stockpiles on land zoned exclusive ag district in the town of Greenfield. I move its approval with the 15 conditions.
Ms. Pedretti moves the committee report, which is to approve subject to 15 conditions, seconded by Mr. Bina. Any questions or discussion on this one? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Now we're moving. All right. Item number 1-9, a resolution to the honorable members of La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, approval to establish a halfway creek Agriculture Enterprise Area. Whereas La Crosse County has received a request from the agriculture landowners to support their effort to establish the Halfway Creek Agriculture Enterprise Area in La Crosse County. And whereas the establishment of an AEA will promote agribusiness and improve the climate for continued and expanded ag activities and will promote collaboration and cooperation between petitioning landowners within the ag district, AEA, and whereas this program will assist in preserving valuable agriculturally productive land and valuable natural resources and open space land and is consistent with the La Crosse County Comprehensive Plan, and whereas the Halfway Creek Agriculture Enterprise Area will provide additional income tax incentives for the participating agricultural landowners in La Crosse County, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby approve the establishment of a Halfway Creek Agriculture Enterprise Area. Fiscal note, no cost to the La Crosse County.
I move
for its approval.
Moved by Marilyn Pedretti. Is there a second? Seconded by Bill Brackmiller. Discussion or questions? Mr. Ebert.
Could someone just give us a 30-second primer on what this actually, other than it looks like it's a tax break to the owners?
That wouldn't be Jeff if you want 30 seconds. Is there? Just kidding. Jeff, you want to give us a brief overview?
Yeah, hopefully there is a sheet attached to the map there that will probably do a better job at summarizing some of the goals of the ag enterprise areas. Basically, it fosters other opportunities that are going to end up happening with these. I think there's 9 farms in that area, aren't there? 11, okay. Enhance the acreage covered by the conservation and nutrient management plans. Gain knowledge and experience from each other, assist the other producers in the area, preserve the ag land and water resources within that area. It also opens this area up to the possibility of becoming or qualifying for PACE, the purchase of development rights. These people want to stay in agricultural use forever. And the only restriction that might end up happening in this area, I don't think is in the Village of Holman growth plan, but you can see how close the Village of Holman is. This is an area that's actually lower. It's on the lower prairie area. If you go along County Highway XX in that area, you'll see that there's kind of a rise in the plateau up to the Village of Holman. So a lot lower area, but a lot of ag benefits are going to be enjoyed by these people, including the possibility of a $10 tax credit per acre.
So this would actually increase their score in PACE if this is done.
Exactly.
Thank you much, sir.
Welcome.
Jeff Schrader.
Long as you're up there, Jeff. What happens then if somebody wants to get out of this and develop their land? That can never happen?
That won't happen. This will be a central park before that happens.
Dan Bina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that is the difference between our Farmland Preservation Program and the Working Lands Initiative Program. Mm-hmm. The state will pay a farmer, if you have a conservation plan, $5 or $7.50 an acre on your land. In the area plan like we are looking at here, they will get a $10 an acre fee back on their income, on their taxes they pay on property taxes for that property. And so this is the first one we've put together here. There were a number of them in the state that were approved last year, none in our area, but this is just, this land in this area will be permanently in agriculture, and you cannot get it out of ag. It has to stay in ag. That's the only criteria what the state is paying for.
Marilyn Pedretti.
Actually, if I could clarify that, if they're in the AEA, it's for 15 years. They make a 15-year mm-hmm. commitment. If they qualify for PACE and become part of that, then that's permanent.
I was going to correct what I indicated, because I think Mr. Supervisor Schroeder was asking the question of just the ag enterprise area, and I answered the PACE question.
The PACE program is permanent. The AEA, right. If a member wants to get out, they do have to pay a penalty if they're out within the 15 years, but it's a 15-year commitment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Ms. Pedretti?
With pleasure, I say yes.
Thank you. We have two committees left, which means there is still time to follow the lead of your first vice chair, Tara Johnson, in completing the evaluation of the county administrator. So please jump in and start doing that. Executive Committee, Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 1-10 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution regarding hours of nutrition, increasing hours of nutrition educator by 0.07 FTE, to 2.6, by 2.6 hours per week. Whereas the Health Department has received a WIC, Women, Infant, and Children contract allocation from the state for 2011 that is $32,165 more than anticipated in the 2011 budget, the increased funding to provide additional nutrition services as directed by the state, and whereas an existing nutrition educator would need to be increased from 0.93 to 1.0 full-time equivalents, which does not increase existing employee benefits, now, therefore, be it resolved that the Health Department is authorized to increase the hours of one existing nutrition educator from 0.93 to 1.0 FTE for the length of the WIC contract. Fiscal note is that the WIC contract, federal funds through the U.S. Department of Agriculture, has increased from $418,000 to $451,000. The cost of the additional hours is $3,997 for wages, $306 for FICA, and $464 for Wisconsin Retirement Service, for a total of $4,767. The remaining funds will be used to meet contract objectives, including indirect maternity leave and other WIC contract-related expenses. I move its approval.
Moved by Chair Johnson, seconded by Sharon Hampson. Any discussion or questions? Mr. Ebert, you're frowning. You have a question, I know.
Well, I guess, so if... So we have additional funds, and we're going to increase wage. If we don't increase wage, wouldn't that be more funds that we can distribute in the program?
Doug Mormon.
We're increasing the number of hours. These funds are used to administer the program. The funds that the several million dollars a year of funds that come through grocery stores and such for WIC services is different than this, and we can't move these funds from this activity to paying for groceries.
Well, isn't it $23,000 difference or $33,000 difference?
Yes, it's about
$3,000. And we're only spending $4,000 difference or $47,000, so I don't understand your logic in that.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood your question. We're spending the $4,000 to buy the 2.6 hours per week of staff time. The rest of the funds are used for other expenses in the department, including the indirect expense that comes back to the county. There are several folks that are going to be on maternity leave, so we're covering the costs for the maternity leave to cover the people that will be able to do the work that folks are gone on maternity leave.
So none of this money could be spent in actual program benefits.
Buying groceries, no. That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To follow up on Mr. Ebert's question, is there anything else we can do with this money?
No.
There's nothing else we can do with the money.
The funds need to be used to...
For personnel?
For increasing the number of WIC clients that we'll be seeing under the contract.
And the only way to do that is to spend money on personnel?
In order to reach the clients that we need to see, the number of clients is going to increase. In order to do that, we need to hire additional 2.6 hours of staff time per week.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. That it for you, Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Thank you. Health and Human Services Board, Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have item number 111, first consideration of an ordinance change to amend sections in Chapter 11 entitled Public Health and Human Services of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. I move that it be held over for 30 days for a second reading.
That'll be held over for 30 days unless anybody has any questions tonight. Okay. Anything else for you, Ms. Hampson? All right. That gets to suggestions for future agenda topics. Are there any or announcement type things, anything like that, anybody? Maureen Friedland.
Oh, yeah, regarding announcements, there was a question last time about the next medication drop-off. It's going to be on February 19th from 9 to 12, accepting all medications, including controlled substances. And that'll be also including household hazardous waste at the landfill facility.
So that'll be at the facility?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Chuck Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can we get an update on this industrial park out at West Salem? From my understanding, we have phase one is 80 acres and phase two is 80 acres. Where are we at? How many more have we got?
We'll put that on the agenda.
We'll put it on the future agenda, but it's still next to West Salem.
Okay.
You asked where it was at?
No. What stage are we at? Are we still in phase one, or are we gone to the second 80 acres, though? Okay, thank you.
Anybody else have any announcements or questions? John Menninger.
Is the full county board going to deal with that issue of Aramark and the laundry services, or?
That contract was already extended for 5 years. So
but it was only by committee, not by the full county board.
But that's the authority of the committee under existing contracts and existing budget. That's your current ordinance. That's a decision made by the governing committee.
Oh, so when the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee made that decision, that was the end of it.
That's correct.
Vicki says that judiciary law also voted on that.
You didn't take any action, okay, according to the minutes.
No, they were just reported to, because 90% of that contract was related to Hillview and Lakeview.
Well, maybe that's something we could talk about, because giving a company a five-year contract and having just one committee make that decision doesn't quite seem right with me. I mean, I don't know how many of those we do. I'd be interested to know a little more about that kind of issue, maybe if we're one of these little discussion things we do.
Those meetings where we don't take votes, those? Okay. Gary, why don't you sit down with Brian Jonestead, see if you can pull something together for us. That would be interesting. Bill Feehan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question on a resolution here regarding increased frequency of passenger rail service. Was this voted on at the December meeting that I was excused from, or why is that in our packet? That was from the meeting in December. So that has been voted on?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, for the record, I'd just like to state that I'm opposed to this on the basis that Amtrak has been... No, can't comment on it? Okay, thanks.
I wasn't going to lose any sleep over it, but if people want to insist on the rules, that's fine. I prefer anarchy sometimes, and we were heading that direction tonight. I thought we'd just keep going right off the cliff. Monica Cruz.
As a point of information, there is a full moon, and it's a very unusual full moon known as the wolf moon.
That explains a lot. I knew there was something going on. All right, anybody else? Ralph Geary.
It may pertain to this ordinance, may pertain to other ones coming up. If there's a fiscal implication or note that we usually put on resolutions, inform us of that next month, will you? Maybe there isn't.
What?
On resolutions, we get a fiscal note, but on ordinances, we don't. Oh. I'm just saying on ordinances, if there happens to be a fiscal implication,
okay,
would somebody inform us of that next month?
Good point. Okay. Anybody else? Well, this should be good. Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, good judgment comes from experience, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. Let me give you a case in point. There are three kinds of men: the ones that learn by reading, and a few learn by observation, and the rest of them have to, well, you know what, on an electric fence. That I move adjourned.
Moved by Jerry Sobranek, second by Bill Brockmiller. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Carried unanimously.